I'll take a clap, yeah. That's fine if you want. Go for it. Go on. It'll make it feel like a show.
Yay!
So it sounds like I had an intro from stage, and then I didn't just walk up here. And my name's Matt Harvey. I'm going to be hosting the show tonight. I am over from... I'm getting a bit of sound. Yeah. Oh, there we go. I'm over from Melbourne, and I'm doing a show on the Fringe. This is a show. This is a little showcase that I've put together, a little podcast that I normally run. It's called Just for Funny. And basically, the principle of the show is that I'm highlighting people that I have seen or that I've read about, that I think I like the sound of their show or I like the work that they do. So generally, with the podcast, I get a guest on, and we talk about performers that we like. And this is sort of more of a live, if we were able to get those people in the room, then we've managed to do that. So I've got a couple of guests who will be coming up a little bit later, and we'll be having a bit of fun at the end of a little bit of a game show, news quiz type thing. But for now, I'm going to give you a little taste of what I've come here to do, a little stand-up play. I'm doing a storytelling show. My show's called I Got Bit by a Monkey Once. That's what I'm looking for. It is all true stories. So there's four true stories. It is a monkey bite, a long bus trip across America, an arrest, and a mugging. And hopefully that is enough to entice you to come and see the show. All right, I'm going to leave it there. I feel like that's a good little taster for you guys. But as I said, this show's not just about me. This show's about highlighting some people who are doing their own festival shows. And they're in the room with you right now.
Ooh, they're behind you. Whoa.
So I'm going to bring my first guest on stage. So please make them feel very welcome. They've come out here to entertain you. Put your hands together. Welcome to the stage, Sarah and Bolly.
Awesome. Thank you. Hey, guys.
I'm
Sarah. I don't know if you can tell. I'm a very thin person, but like I'm too skinny. Like, if I take my t-shirt off and suck in my stomach, it looks like there should be someone to one side going, for a dollar a day. When you've got this kind of baby face, you've got to figure out what you can and can't do in life. Like, I figured out that I can't wear long coats because I just look like 2 12-year-olds. No, I am a young person. It's only a temporary thing. As a young person, I feel like autocorrect is making me a weirder person. Because, like, I was texting a friend of mine recently. I don't want to brag, but I own a phone.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to text was, looking forward to seeing you. But it autocorrected to, looming forward to seeing you. Just like, hello. Let's get brunch. I watch a lot of movies. That's a fun fact about me. I watched the movie Titanic the other day. Didn't cry. Because I'm actually pro-iceberg. Like, I don't like the way that icebergs have been villainized in popular culture. And that and the fact that nowadays, most icebergs are played by white actors. It's not all movies I want to see. I recently got dragged to a screening of Spice World, the Spice Girls movie. I don't know if you guys can tell, I'm not really the demographic for that film. It was just me and 150 soccer moms. Like, I went there feeling dread, and I left with a really good potato salad recipe. I felt sorry for the staff working there, because they had to deal with 150 people who look like they would ask to speak to the manager. Just if anything went down, like, they ordered a Diet Coke but got a regular Coke. They're just like, this isn't what I ordered. And there's just five women behind you like, you get it, Trini. I didn't know a lot about them going into it. Like, a friend of mine asked me, like, who's your favorite Spice Girl? Like, I don't know, turmeric? I don't know, man. No, it's an exciting time. At the moment, my flatmate's just bought a puppy.
Woo!
Yeah.
Is that a no? Tell them you said that. No, they named the puppy Wilbur, and I don't know how I feel about a baby dog having an old person name.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, surely a rest home is the only place you should hear someone say, ah, jeez, We'll put piss all over the carpet again. Or who let work out of the cage? It's gonna get worse. I was hanging out with a friend the other day, and they had to buy a present for their 91-year-old grandmother. Like, what do you buy a 91-year-old that you're not just gonna get back in the will? Like, look, Grandma, I bought you an Xbox One. It comes with the latest Battlefield game, which is set in World War II, or as you call it, your 20s. You know, I'm a nerd, I'm like a nerdy guy. I started playing Dungeons & Dragons this year, because I was getting too much pussy. But no, I like D&D, man. My favorite thing is when someone in your party is obviously going through some shit, and they use the fantasy realm to express it. They'll just be there like, I hack off the goblin's head with my great axe and yell, fuck you, Susan. Those were my carrot sticks. I'm a huge fan of the Harry Potter films.
Oh, yeah.
My kind of people, I love it. There's a creature in the third movie that turns into your worst fear. And I really want to encounter one, just to see how it would turn into commitment. My girlfriend loved that joke. She was great, though. One time, she asked me what I thought about morning sex. Like, I guess people grieve in their own ways. But we have to do it on the casket. I got it back, though. Like, one time, to kind of spice things up, I got her to get a Brazilian. His name's Paolo. He's a very gentle lover. Speaking of loves, I went to the supermarket the other day because that's where they keep the food. I don't know if you guys do, like, something I do at the supermarket is whenever the person using the self-service checkout before me has left their receipt, I always read it and try to figure out things about their life. And usually it's just boring stuff, just people grocery shopping. Like one time, I want to read a receipt and have it say, chocolate, 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 wine, wine. Like, who was he? Who hurt you? Nobody buys a liter of ice cream and a copy of Sister Act 2 on DVD without heartbreak. Doing that joke has made me paranoid that the person behind me is going to do the same thing. So I want to buy things to confuse them. Like a packet of condoms and a tub of lube and a copy of Sister Act 2 on DVD. That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Separate.
That's good. The mic is very sweaty right now.
That is exactly why I didn't take it. I could see it from
there. You can see the glisten.
Yeah. So Severin's doing a show in the Fringe. Let's sort of talk about that first. What's the name of the show?
It's called Three Course Comedy.
Three Course Comedy, which means?
So it's myself and another two fantastic Wellington comics, Chris Beattie at the moment.
Support local.
Absolutely. We are free range organic.
Free range organic comics, yeah. I will say, hang on, let's do this first. Where and when?
So it is March 10th, 11th, 13th, 14th. There's something on the 12th that is very annoying. At the Power Room, which is above Dakota Bar at 8:30.
That is a nice space.
It's a very nice space. Very intimate space.
Yeah.
Which would be wonderful.
It was weird. The setup that they have, this is very like inside comedy, and it's really inappropriate for you guys. But it was a weird setup the other day. They just had a red carpet right down the middle, but that divided the middle of the room. And the audience had to choose a side to sit on. And it was just so uncomfortable for everybody because we were just like, are we teams? Like, what's going on? This is like a wedding. Like, are you with the bride or the groom? Like, where are we sitting today? I don't know why it was set up like that.
That looks like, because that is in my rider.
Oh, yeah, there was always a red carpet. So you run the room. Right, that makes sense. I have noticed, though, you talk about people leaving receipts at the supermarket. That is all you guys do here. Every time I go to New World, that's where I've been getting most of my lunches, because I don't have a lot of money while I'm here. Every time I go to New World, there is always a double set of receipts sitting in the thing. And I'm just like, what? There's a bin right there. Just take it over and put it in the bin. Everything else in the city, I'm like, you quite progressive and you look after the environment, but you just leave these little slips of paper everywhere. It's this one thing where I'm like, X, no. Nah, you're all done, Wellington. I've had enough.
Putting my
foot down.
People are in a hurry.
You're in a hurry? Where are you going? Why are you in a hurry?
Towards other receipts to me.
To confuse other people.
Sure.
To figure out what your next confusing purchase is. You were talking about that dog. I just want to, what kind of dog is it? I feel like that's the most important information about his name. Like, is Wilbur an okay name? Depends on the dog breed.
I feel like I should know.
You should know.
It's a small yappy dog.
Yappy dog.
If that makes you feel.
It doesn't. If anything, that strengthens your argument against the name. If the dog's not going to get any bigger than this, it shouldn't be a Wilbur.
It was strange to have a puppy called Wilbur, was my first thought.
Well, I mean, all old men named Wilbur were once children.
Yes.
I don't know if you know this.
Somebody had to look at a baby and was like,
that's a Wilbur. Yeah.
That's a Wilbur.
That's a Wilbur, that's a Margot.
Stone Cold Wilbur.
Yeah. I feel like Margot is the feminine equivalent to Wilbur.
That,
just
that
like,
is feminine Wilbur.
Yeah, yeah, just like emotionally, psychologically.
Okay, with this, Wilbur, just change it.
Yeah, but then that's theming your children's names. I can't get behind theming children's names.
You should have a Wilbur and a Wilma in the same family.
No, so no, I don't think so. It's like Rebel Wilson's family. I don't know if you know the siblings' names. It's like Anarchy, Rebel. They're all themed like that. I can't remember the names. Yeah, there's like five of them. And they're all named in that vein, and not one of them has caused a single overturning of government. So I feel let down by that whole family. I guess Rebel's famous enough now that she could, she's got some influence. Maybe that's,
yeah,
she had to build a cult.
She get all the step up kids.
Yeah.
Step up to the government.
Alright, well, let's keep rolling along. Thank you so much for coming in. Please give it up for Severin. And we think it's going to roll with the next two guests. Please put your hands together and make them feel welcome for Sarah and Jordan! Oh,
yes.
Hi, thank you so much for having me here. As you all know, I'm Jordan, one half of the musical sensation, T-Source and the Unexpected Man of Voice. I know it was supposed to be just me here today doing a wee solo musical set for you, but as you can see, my bandmate Sarah's here too.
Thanks, Jordan. Hi, it's really great to be here. Thanks so much for having me. My name's Sarah, one half of the band T-Source and the Unexpected
Man
of Voice. I know what you're thinking. Where does that band name come from?
So the key to being great bandmates is to be vulnerable with each other. Sarah and I are so vulnerable with each other, that's why we decided to name our band after our biggest fears.
Actually reminds me, if anyone does have any tomato sauce at their table, if you could just keep that away from Jordan, that would be awesome. And if anyone has brought any waxwork models in with them, just a heads up would be great, just so they aren't unexpected.
Now, some of you might not be aware, but I actually heard on a podcast that all the best bands name themselves after their biggest fears. For example, Queen.
Freddie Mercury hated the monarchy. Taylor Swift.
Terrified of fast movements. The Beatles.
Self-explanatory. Rolling Stones.
Scared of music magazines.
Yeah.
Florence and the Machine.
I hated the Italian Industrial Revolution.
Or massive Catholic girl. Massive. And of course, the obvious one, St. Clown Posse.
Just terrified their secret would come out.
Mm.
Anyway, we thought, on that note, it might just be really great to kind of put that theory to the test, just get vulnerable with each other.
Yeah.
So we thought what would
Let's
be really fun, yeah, is if we pick two people and just like find out what their band name would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who looks like they've always wanted to be in a band? You're always wanted to be in a band.
I think this person here,
yeah,
definitely wants to be a musical superstar.
Yeah.
Anyone
else? This person here definitely looks like they were in a band when they were a kid in a garage.
Yeah, not a good one, but
yeah.
For sure. Okay. Can we please get you both to stand up? Is that okay?
If
you want. If you really don't want to. We'll stop right now. Amazing. Give a round of applause. Come on. Okay. So, what are your names? Amazing. I can feel the band chemistry already.
Yeah,
this is great. So why don't you tell each other your biggest fears?
Millipedes.
Mini pigs. I'm just projecting that because mini pigs. Terrifying. Millipedes, yeah, for sure.
You got no fears?
Spiders? amazing if your band name would be Millipedes and the Spiders. That's such a great band
name.
That's so much better than what was last night? Clowns and audience participation.
Please
give a huge round of applause for Wellington's, thank you, Wellington's hottest new band, second hottest, Millipedes and the Spiders. Starting a band, easiest now.
Yeah.
Like really, that's pretty much what we did.
That's all
and look at us now. We've got our first gig coming up
on
the Inter Island. Really excited. Can't wait. It's gonna be amazing. Actually, we just ahead of the gig, we just wanted to kind of clarify some rumours. We do absolutely know how to play our instruments.
Oh,
like,
we know how to play all the
instruments.
Every single one.
Yeah,
what's
the one that we've been
The one on the piano.
We do all the other ones.
Yeah.
So in terms of like the music, definitely like all going really well.
Yeah, so well.
Yeah, in terms of like this space right now, we just wanted to kind of come clean that we haven't prepared our 7-minute set.
Yeah.
For this evening, we just wanted to be really honest about that with you. In terms of the band, just being really honest, it's been really hard to focus on making any actual music. Just what we've been so busy.
Yeah, well, we've just both been really busy recently.
Really busy.
Super, super busy.
I'm just a really busy person. I'm a freelancer. And Jordan has a job.
Yeah, I have a full-time job and I'm a full-time conceptual artist.
We are part-time, aren't we?
Well, it feels like full-time, but on top of my actual full-time job.
My actual full-time job is being an artist, which is actually a lot harder because you don't have the guaranteed salary to fall back on. So.
Yeah, but I have to find the time in and around my work for my art, and that's actually really taxing.
Yes, taxing working from home as well.
Yeah, but I actually pay tax.
I pay tax, and I have to work it all out myself?
Well, I have to get the bus at 7 a.m. every morning.
Okay, I literally never switch off. I check my emails on the beach.
Sounds lovely.
Oh yeah, it's lovely. Spending literally hours by myself in my home office, which is basically just a self-assembled table from the warehouse.
Well, at least you don't have to talk to your colleagues about their plans for the weekend.
I don't get a weekend.
I have to wear a shirt every day.
I have 5 different emails.
I have irritable bowel syndrome. No, it's a personal thing. I really don't like to talk about it that much. It's fine.
I trust
you.
I respect you.
I would die for you.
Anyway, it's hard for both of us, but particularly those of us who are full-time committed artists.
And those of us in the workforce.
It's really hard to find the time to be creative.
Yeah, there's just so many things that you wouldn't think we have to do as full-time,
part-time
creative artists.
People don't realise that we don't get paid for all the admin.
Oh, hours and hours of admin.
So much admin.
There's literally always admin involved.
Emails.
Yep, emails and lists.
So many lists.
And receipts.
Yes, we spend a lot of time collecting receipts.
And then spending our hard-earned money on folders to put the receipts into.
And remembering to keep the receipts for the receipts folders we buy because those are tax-deductible.
We basically just spend a lot of time emailing each other about receipts for receipt folders.
Yeah, it's hard, really hard being self-employed.
Yeah, so sorry we haven't had any time to make any actual music.
Yeah, sorry we haven't had 26 hours in a day to spend time making music due to a lack of
food. Yeah, sorry we're busy trying to make a fucking living.
Yeah, we've got to eat.
God!
That's
how are we looking?
I think that's 7 minutes.
Well, that was easy as well. Do we need to give them anything else musically?
I think we've given enough, and actually,
yeah.
It'd be unfair on us.
It would be. We've agreed to value ourselves more, so we should really.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
Should we go bowling?
Yeah. Don't we have band practice then?
I can wait.
Fuck band practice. Let's go bowling.
Luckily,
I can tell that we don't actually use mics in our show,
so this
is like a whole new thing.
You've written a leave into a set where I make you stay.
Yeah, we didn't think about that.
Should have disappeared by the curtain.
That's
all right.
So maybe I should have dressed up top. Did I call you Sarah, not Sarah?
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything.
You should. You should always say something. Because that's 100% on me for not asking. And also, I guess because my sister's name is Sarah. But... That,
it's an easy mistake to make. There are more Sarahs in the world than Sarah.
Well, see, I wonder though, like, do you think?
I mean, from my experience, I don't meet many Sarahs. Either that or I just get called Sarah more than
and
I get.
Like, many Sarahs get called Sarah. From,
yeah, that's true.
That's a fair point. Yeah,
occasionally,
yeah.
I've actually called myself Sarah.
Just to fit in,
just
to make people comfortable.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your show then. What is the name of your show?
The name of our show is Sarah and Jordan. The name of our show is Sarah and Jordan aren't supposed to be here.
Okay, and what's the nature of the show? I feel like we got a bit of a taster, but like, what do you sell these people to convince them?
Okay, the elevator. Well, the elevator pitch. So we are two poets who are stepping out of our comfort zones. We're making a comedy show about imposter syndrome. The idea is that we have started a band called Teasels and the Unexpected Mannequins, but of course we can't actually play any instruments, and so the show sort of takes.
Hilarity ensues.
We
hope so. Yeah, I feel like the easiest way to get out of any rolling sentences. Hilarity ensues. Tell end all my press releases. That's why there's no press here. that sounds like fun. So you're both poets.
Yeah.
Was there a big poetry scene in the Wellington area? Like what?
Yeah, there's a really big poetry scene here. Sarah's actually partially responsible for that. Runs a lot of poetry gigs around here. I've actually run a poetry gig here before. Yeah, what up? Kevin's a great space for it. So Fringe Power. Wellington is a really good spoken word. And also
is there poetry fans in the audience? Just out of curiosity.
There's never poetry fans in the audience.
Oh, that's what?
Is that good?
You got a fan, you're gonna get murdered after the show!
I always wanted to stop it. This is great.
This might be a very ignorant question, but because I feel like there probably isn't a specific that you would write towards in terms of, like, you know, in comedy there's styles. And you might be a one-liner comic and you might be like a observational comic. Is there more of it's like styles of poetry or is like so would you just sort of write whatever sort of comes to you? Or your haiku girl?
The above, I think is maybe true. There's styles, just like any art.
Yeah.
Some
named one of them, haiku.
Haiku, yeah.
That's
haiku.
That's the style.
That's actually everyone.
Sonnets.
Yeah. But like, when you're writing a poem, so maybe when you're putting something together,
yeah.
Do you just sort of, like, it's just create and then see the what structure do you think it fits, or do you sort of have an idea going into it what you think it would fit?
I think both.
I think a bit of both. I know for me it's sort of like kind of a balance of maybe there's something I really want to, I guess, maybe talk about or address, but also for me it's often I find my style is kind of balancing, see what's funny,
yeah,
trying to walk that line doesn't always work,
it's a tougher line to walk.
And also I guess for me it sort of depends on maybe the audience, like is it a poem I'm going to get up and do at sort of big noisy gigs, is it one I want to have written and have published in a book that people can read quietly,
sure,
and so that will also have I guess an influence on the styling.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that with our show as well, that we've never done this before.
No.
This is really new for us. I mean, like, we've done saying words on stage before.
Yeah.
We're trying to sell the show.
Yeah,
we're absolutely what we're doing. I've made shows before, but we haven't like worked together on a long form thing before.
No.
It was kind of similar. We were like, well, we want to get on stage and do something for an hour and we want it to maybe be funny. But other than that, we were like, what is the style going to be? And then it's kind of ended up being this, when people are like, is it a comedy? We were like, well, it's kind of comedy and it's just a kind of theatre. And then there's like some spoken word and it's a show about music. And then
the road to a fringe show, which is like a large form festival show like this can be quite complicated.
Mm.
Like I've found, I mean, like we'll let the audience in a little bit on. Like so, when I'm trying to create a new show as well, so let's say I'm doing Melbourne Comedy Festival and I'm premiering a new show. I don't know if you guys know, you have to register a show like 6 to 7 months in advance. So if you haven't written your show, you're like, it's the Incredible Adventures of Matt, just because you don't know what you're doing yet. And so if you come across a show with like a really esoteric or strange or shit name, it's probably because they were like, I'm still figuring things out, Fringe. Give me 10 minutes, please.
You're speaking our truth.
Yeah, that's true. We had the name first in the show.
And we actually had the t-shirts first.
You had the t-shirts.
We just had these lying around.
Yeah.
And we thought, we should do something with this. No, I have a drawing in my notebook from Comedy Fest, like from May last year, of this, basically. And we were like, wouldn't that make a funny show?
And on the 14th of
March,
we'll find out if it's true.
You've gone the Rogue One route, where they're like, this one line of dialogue, let's expand that to an hour and a half.
Yeah, do you want to hear our one line of dialogue?
Yeah,
we had from the very beginning. My one line of dialogue was, if a band plays in a forest and no one is there to hear them, do we still get paid?
That line didn't make the final part of the script.
No, it didn't. It's on the flyers.
It's on the flyers.
How
does that,
not, how is that not in your elevator pitch? It's more like if someone puts on a Fringe Festival show and no audience shows up, is it the most Fringe Festival show that's ever been? I think.
Yeah.
All right. This has been quite. I could chat to you guys for a while, but let's roll into the second half of the show, which
Ooh.
Means bringing young Severin back onto the stage.
Oh,
please cover his entrance with some claps.
Yeah.
For anyone who's not aware, which is all of you, this I know where I am. This show comes in two structured forms. So now what we're going to do is I'm going to take the position of a game show host. And these guys here, I've prepared some questions for them based on recent news events, and I'm not sure how much they've been reading because I didn't tell them to. And I've got some questions for them. We're going to play a little bit of a game, and if each of you could pick someone from the audience who you'd like to play for on behalf of, and maybe that person will win some tickets, but at least to my show, and if they're nice enough to these guys' shows. So if you pick someone from the crowd, someone you feel like you've connected with, maybe one of the people you forced into audience interaction, that might be the way to go.
What was your name? So sorry.
This is the Spiders.
Spiders.
And I'm
from
Millipedes.
I mean, the first person that jumped me out is the Glory Spear.
Oh, yeah.
That
is a lesson to the rest of you. Get your beard game in order.
Try 6 months in advance.
Yeah, that's right.
Who knows?
Come to a
double-watch
show.
I mean,
set another one live. Amazing.
My name's Reed.
Reed with the glorious beard.
That is. And quite an accent too. Where are you from?
Canada.
Oh, you've come a long way to
beard. Yeah, did you have the beard before you left?
I feel like he would have to have the beard being from Canada, otherwise he'd probably die in the cold.
That's right.
Which part of Canada are you from? I don't know it well. But
Edmonton, Alberta.
Alberta, so that's like up
here.
Yeah. That's where it's colder. Yeah, geography. I can do stuff. I can do crowd work. What are you talking about? Alright, let's get into it. So I've got a couple of questions here. And now that we've got our lovely audience members lined up, I've got a friend now, Spiders. Hey, look at you.
I'm so sorry that you now called it Millipedes.
Sorry, it's
your lump up here.
It's Spiders and Millipedes in here.
If you could just legally change your names after to say what's
embarrassment.
Yeah, we'll retroactively, that'll just be, I'll just edit it so when they're like, what's your name? It will come out, the Spiders and the Millipedes. Don't worry, I have all the power. It's fine. Alright, cool. So there's a guy in Iowa recently. He was in a divorce dispute, and he lost quite poorly. By his account, his wife destroyed him legally. That is his quote. And he wants to resolve the dispute in an unconventional manner. Does anyone know what the manner is?
Is it a
jewel? Yes, that's
right.
Oh, that's
you do read the news, you liar.
I read very specific news.
Sorry,
like jeweling, like medieval related news, that's it.
Yeah.
He's reading Jousting Times.
Yeah.
We actually have a jousting joke in our show.
Jousting fans.
Great jousting costumes.
Jousting and poetry fans. He challenged his wife or a champion for her to a jewel. So I hope that her champion is like Mike Tyson. You know what I mean? Because this guy has it coming, let's be honest.
Or that guy's dead. That's an unreal person.
Does whoever wins the duel has to give back the duel?
The duel, it's the duel of the jewels.
I like it.
What, you mean I
like
it?
I'm only,
you can tell the poet
is making joke, don't worry.
I've already hit it. It'll be like, answer, pun. Just letting you know.
Well, so apparently there's like a kind of precedent for this, because there was like a case in New York in 2016, where the Supreme Court justice acknowledged that duels were not abolished legally. But I think they might, this is in Iowa. But I think like the murder part of the duel is probably where they're going to fall apart. It's like most duels end in death, right? I do believe that's how it's supposed to work. So I don't know what he thinks. There is more. So he has a second request regarding his duel. Do you know what the request is?
I might have not been down this far.
It's a headline.
I had to leave the train.
Yeah, that's true.
Does anyone want to take a stab?
Horseback?
That's a great guess.
Full suits of armor?
Only the leather armor.
Yeah.
No, he wanted... He asked the judge if he could get 12 weeks of preparation time so that he could either make or buy a Japanese samurai sword.
What?
So specific, isn't it? And like 12 weeks, not nearly enough time to forge a sword.
But you can buy so many in 12 weeks.
You can, look, if you've got a sword dealer,
yeah,
you're sword. Or if you grew up with like... If you grew up with like the weird guy in high school, you know, who always wore the long trench coat, you've probably got a sword.
Maybe he is the weird guy.
Then he should have a sword. And he should probably know how to use it. Like, if you're going to throw down a duel in court... He'll be ready.
That's his everyday sword, not his duel sword.
Yeah, it's for cutting steaks and just getting dinner done.
Where do you find a blacksmith these days? Anyway.
Well, here's the thing. So I did some research.
Okay.
And I don't know about locally, but I googled like how long does it take to make a sword. Now, taking modern methods out, because I assume he doesn't have the money for modern methods, because apparently you can get a sword made in a couple of hours using technology. But apparently, according to this... Smith online, it requires as many as 30 craftsmen to take over a year to make one sword using traditional methods. This guy has not done his research.
So
12 weeks.
I wonder why it died out. It sounds so convenient.
I guess you'd have to go to like a Renaissance fair or something like that. LARPing. You'd probably find a blacksmith at LARPing. Actually, back in Melbourne, I know a guy who runs a store called Of Swords and Science, and he has like blacksmithing connections. It's weird because he's always like at LARPing conventions because he sells weapons and stuff like that. So I guess the people who make armor and weapons, it's so strange. Like, he's a lovely guy, but it's a strange life that he lives. You follow him online and you're just like, what are you doing? You're at a fair? Cool. Why are you dressed like that? Oh, it's a Renaissance fair. Cool. You're selling swords at a Renaissance fair? Of course you are. That's why wouldn't you be?
That's my hobbies.
Yeah, right.
There's a bunch of people drunk on meat around children with a sword. Like
yeah,
safe time.
I mean, now you juggle a few swords, kids get out of the way, so it's fine. They'll figure it out fast.
That's not our message.
That is my message.
Yeah, three course comedy does not endorse the harming of children.
Three sword comedy.
Three sword comedy now.
I did also look, because I was thinking about wanting Mike Tyson as your champion. If you want to hire Mike Tyson, does anyone want to take a stab at how much it costs to hire Mike Tyson for an appearance? It's an appearance fee.
Two and a half swords.
What are they paying for the hangover movies?
Probably more than this, because this is just an appearance fee.
Right, so he won't do stuff, he just who's going to.
Yeah, he just like walks around and scares people.
What currency are we working on?
Oh, we'll go for American dollars.
$5 million.
$5 million?
Five.
Is Mike Tyson in
million.
He's got a tie.
One.
Oh,
it's bullshit!
Twice.
I'm going to stick with two swords.
Yeah,
I'm going to stick with swords, yeah.
All right, so an appearance fee from Mike Tyson is anywhere between $75,000 to $149,000.
Oh.
And that's just to get him to show up.
What does the high end get you? Like, what are the benefits?
Yeah, I know. I don't know why there's
like
such a difference between
premium Mike Tyson
and Mike Tyson.
Not
the same words. I assume he punches something. That you set up a stake on a hook and you just punch it.
He shows up with the tiger.
It just disintegrates after he punches it. Alright, so in Las Vegas recently, some pigeons have started appearing with tiny hats. What kind of tiny hats were they wearing?
Sombreros.
Fedoras. They're in sales.
Poor pigeons.
Go bubble hats. No, Santa hats.
Those are all excellent guesses. They're all wrong, but they're all excellent guesses. They're actually started showing up wearing tiny MAGA hats, so the Make America Great Again hats. Yeah.
I was close.
You were very close.
I feel like sombreros was close.
I feel like I
was feeling this way. I had the right colours, because
the right colours, yeah,
yeah.
It's very strange. People don't know where they're coming from. So, like, obviously they're someone's homing pigeons, because, like, people, you know, breed pigeons, and that's the only way you have them long enough to
to like glue a tiny hand.
These are wild pigeons.
No, I don't, can't question. Well, maybe. They're the most wild pigeons.
Does each hat take 30 people?
It's gotta take so much work to make a tiny hat that you can legibly read "Make America Great Again" on. So who has that skill set? Is this like a 140,000 person who's like built, you know, models before, like painted tiny models? Like, I know it's really hard to get the detail in there.
We're assuming somebody's putting their hats on these pigeons.
And the pigeons aren't making them themselves.
Yeah, we sure are. Finally.
Well, it just depends on how far down the internet rabbit hole you want to go, because like, there is a conspiracy that says, that birds aren't real.
Birds aren't real.
Yeah.
What?
Surveillance
by
the
government.
Yeah, they're all surveillance drones.
Oh my god.
I have not been
able
to
support
this.
There's another one that says Australia isn't real.
Yeah, I have heard that one. I can clarify, it is real. I live there. Yeah, right. Apparently I'm an actor. Just paying
for
actor. What country has an arts budget that big that they could pay that many people to just be like, yeah, I live in Australia.
Definitely not Australia.
Yeah, I can guarantee you it's not Australia. We have no production budgets at all. We've got neighbours and that's it.
Didn't your Ministry of Arts just get, like, disbanded?
Oh, yeah, the Liberal government.
Called the Finance
and Ministry of Arts, yeah. Every time they get in, they torture it. And that's just it. They're done. This is not the first sighting of pigeons in hats. There's been pigeons recently. It's about 6 months ago that pigeons were in different hats. Anyone want to take a stab at what the other hats were?
Just Make America Great.
Just a bad finish.
The first time.
That was... bizarrely. So there's this guy called Clive Palmer who tried to get back into Australian Parliament, and that was his running campaign, was Make Australia Great. The implication being that it has never been, of course.
It's a very like self-deprecating way of putting it. Like,
yeah,
let's just try.
This country doesn't even exist. Let's just make Australia, right?
Make
just create it. The same way China built that island in the ocean, just we'll make it. Do you not know about this?
No.
So China has built like a fake island out in the China Sea. So that they can get... So, because your sea territory, basically, just to take it out into international waters, it's based on how far out your territory goes.
Yeah.
So they've built an island, just a fake island out there, to expand their territory, so they can claim more of the sea.
So bold.
Yeah,
it's
right?
So
it's such a strange...
No.
Yeah, a little bit, but also worrying.
Also
offensive. Yeah.
Just a strength-based person.
Any more guesses on the hats?
Top hat.
Top hat, that's a good guess.
I just think it would look pretty cute.
tiny Abraham Lincoln's.
Yeah.
No.
Nothing. No type of hat.
No type of
hat. I mean, you went strong with fedora the first
time.
Maybe
like a good trucker cap with the Confederate flag.
I feel like
it's a natural progression.
Yeah, that makes sense. They're actually cowboy hats the first time, which, yeah, right? So,
down two. Down two.
Yeah, it's right.
One cowboy thing.
And
this sidewalk.
Cowboys have jewels as well. So that's
cowboys
yes,
jewel,
they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
The secret theme of the show is dueling. You've done the secret word of the day! No, it's weird, because essentially these are two hats that are built on like outdated masculine stereotypes that sort of don't need to exist anymore. So it's, I don't know, it kind of finds it, but surely it's the same people who are just like, these are my heroes, John Wayne and Donald Trump. Yeah, no, I'm not saying they're a good person, I'm just saying.
Soon there are going to be birds in Australia with Nick Kelly.
Just old cat mama, except for their legs.
Yeah.
They just can't fly, like whatever, no one can hurt me now. Alright, let's roll on. There's a city in Michigan, like in the peninsula of Michigan, Upper Peninsula. They spent $3,004 on a device, like each on a device named the Nasal Ranger. Does anyone want to take a stab at what the Nasal Ranger is used for?
That question is so confusing.
Alright.
So someone...
There's a device
said,
called the Nasal Ranger.
Right, and that's all we need to know.
That's mostly what you
it?
Need to know, yeah. The council in Michigan has spent... It's $3,400 per device.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that sort of just gives you some context
right.
for what it might do.
Does it pluck nose hairs from people on the bus? I mean, sitting next to you if you have really...
No, but you can make a fortune if you
Especially if that one notices that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the...
Well, is it like when they're asleep?
You can't... Yeah. You don't just want to... It would just be really handy to have like a portable one.
Yes.
But, yeah. We've all thought about it.
I think we're all into it as well. Like, as a collective, we're like, we can donate to that. We'll build it, put together a GoFundMe.
Yeah. Because it's a ranger, you can do it from across the room.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, from the front of the bus, you just be
in
like,
fact,
no.
It scans and it's like, it
finds the hairiest nose.
Yes.
The most errant hairs pulls them out. Anyone else want to take a step? No, I was going to say you're wrong.
Is it a device that heightens your sense of smell? So, like, when you're in, say, like a comedy club or you're doing a podcast and someone's definitely farted, but you can't really tell who it is. You can put on the Sarah definitely farted.
I reckon you could use it.
The band relationship.
I reckon you could use it in that capacity, but it is not its design function.
Okay, so it's not a fart signal. Okay.
No.
We could do with one of those. That happens all the time.
Good.
Just pointing people out in random crowds, being like, he's the one! It was him!
Public shame.
Yeah. How dare your body function? How dare you?
I think it's a little device similar to like a piss dispenser that you put up there and it implants a small cowboy hat.
Love it. Right? So you think someone's gotten them onto the pigeons, sent them out into
the world.
Where
else can we put these hats?
It is used for smelling, like seeking out by a smell, marijuana plants.
You were
very
good. I knew you were the point.
Yeah, you're quite close. And I'm gonna,
I actually feel like people can do that.
Yeah, see, this was my whole thing when I was reading it, because I'm like, it's not the most subtle smell. Like, I'm staying in a backpackers at the moment, and I can always smell it. I'm just like, I don't need this nasal ring gel. I've got this. They're over there.
Yeah, buy the extra set on the guitar.
Yeah,
exactly.
The white
guy drinks.
They'll come to you. It's like a trap. Put them under a box.
In 20 minutes, there's going to be pizza. I don't know why.
It's bizarre, though, because, like, right, so here's the thing. So, smoking weed is actually legal in Michigan. So, there's a lot of states where it's legal. But the amount that you can grow on your own is capped. And essentially, the officials, I think it's in a desperate attempt to make revenue that they've lost by making weed legal, have cracked down on, they're like, this area stinks like weed. Because apparently, according to, where is it? So according to the officials, the smell of commercial cannabis farms can be likened to a mixture of rotting lemons and sulfur. And they say
what?
It's like a skunk spray. Yeah, right. That's not what I smell weed. It's like it's a little dense, but it's not that bad. Sulfur.
That message brought to you by the DARE program. Just so you know, kids.
It's so strange though. I look forward to though the Law and Order spin-off that uses the nasal range. That's gonna be great. Or is it gonna be like,
yeah,
Law and Order CBD unit? Whatever it is, you know.
Looks like this crime was half baked.
And then instead of the dent sound, it'd be like. A couple more questions, and we'll get there. So the normally the nasal ranger is a field device. It's a field olfactory device where they'll go out, they'll capture a scent, and then they'll take it into a lab. When they can pump it full of fresh oxygen, and so they can sort of separate the smell from fresh oxygen. It's a complicated device. So they've built one that they can carry around and like follow, you know, like a cartoon character when they get a scent, and they're like, and they follow on the pine to the windowsill, just like that. So they're going to follow the scent to people's farms. And so basically, when they don't use the ranging one, they have to test it in the lab. Does anyone want to take a guess at how it's tested in the lab?
So as soon as they've gathered up...
Yeah, so they get the smell, they take it back to the lab, they put the fresh oxygen through it, and then it has to be tested.
And by the smell, you just mean...
Like whatever the offending odour is. So it could be like that someone's left too much rubbish out. Or
the smell.
Like just a sample of the smell.
Yeah.
So maybe like whatever is in the street.
Do they
make people go into the room and then see if they start talking about Stanley Kubrick movies?
would be a good way to weed them out.
Do they put on some
skin?
Don't see how it responds.
Alright, I think you're going to enjoy this. The air is passed through a panel of qualified human smellers.
Oh my god.
So
Snoop Dogg. Yeah. So they get him in, he's got a job on the side. Alright, I figured this question might be asked, so I did some research.
Okay.
Yeah, I did some research. So the inventor of the nasal ranger, he offers classes at like an odor school, and you can be qualified. I feel like this is becoming a sommelier. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah,
it's just, but putting the air in sommelier.
Yeah.
Sommelier.
Notes of dank.
Hits of dread and rocks in there.
What is that? Sulfur?
Yeah, rotting lemon. yeah, it's crazy. So I feel like the best part of that is surely if we've gone with like Law and Order remake with the CBD, you know, then you get the in lab scene. You know what I mean? So they can take the smell into the lab and they're like, analyze this smell. Yeah, and then there could be a panel of smellers. They could be like a 12 Angry Men situation where one guy's got to convince everybody else that it's a weed smell. So one 12 Angry Men fan in the crowd. That's excellent. This is why I do my references. Whales. That's fine.
I'm just thinking about the workshop. I'm just thinking about that, like, welcome to the workshop. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to smell this. Just to see what it smells like.
Well, have you ever done...
Thanks for coming to the workshop.
Have you ever done... You go into like a perfume shop and you smell in different scents and they've got this cup full of coffee beans as the... So surely it's just that all day, like smelling things, coffee beans, just to... like reset the palate.
And you get really good at knowing what coffee is.
Yeah, you're like, I can smell coffee anywhere.
Yeah.
The nasal ranger actually just got turned into a coffee machine. That's what happened to Melbourne. They were just like, there's coffee everywhere.
I have that same skill, but it weirdly only works for like South Africa.
So you know where to avoid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know where every high school locker room is.
That's a bad skill to
have.
That's
not a good skill.
Yeah.
It's not bad sometimes.
I feel like that's a skill every... woman needs to learn early on. They just got to identify
right.
It as a problematic smell.
Yeah.
And like, get out of there. Oh, don't worry, we've all wore it. I wore it. I know. It's because it's what you wear.
It's the whole
it just is. Yeah, I think it comes. Yeah, I think it just comes when you turn.
When you hit puberty.
Yeah,
right?
when you hit puberty, it just arrives in your room. So it just appears, and you're like, oh, I guess I'll wear that.
Santa Claus.
God, I like Beetlejuice. You know what I mean? It's like puberty. There it is. Terrible. Alright, let's go with, a couple of fun ones. So, there's a former White House Trump physician. He's left the administration, and since then he's admitted that he used to do what? Type president's
cool.
Food.
I know this one, about you.
So I also know this one.
Yeah.
I read the news. He used to do something to the president.
To the president's food. What do you used to
do? Oh, yeah, no, I did read this, but I've entirely forgotten. I'm going to say, mash it up with a potato masher, put it in a smoothie cup.
You're closer than you imagined, surprisingly.
He used to disguise vegetables, it's more like traditional.
Yeah, that's right, yes. He used to put cauliflower in the president's mash so that he would eat his vegetables. Like a child. My parents used to do that for me.
Yeah, like a pet when you're trying to get them to take
their
medication.
Well, they're probably hiding his medication in there. Mr. President, you've got to take your medication.
You tried to bum that small Chinese island.
Yeah, exactly. It's no good. Can't bother around. Take your medication. Eat your vegetables. It's crazy.
It's funny until it's not.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
the kind of got very
Yeah, you've got wine. Yeah.
Surely, like, a better way to make me this visual is to put, like, a really tiny mega hat
on top of it. I'll eat that shit up. Love it. The two things that he's admitted to doing were hiding cauliflower in his mash and trying to make the ice cream less accessible.
Putting on a high shelf.
Yeah, right. He's a tall guy as well, so like you'd have to get a ladder up and just really tuck it away. Secret Service around it. You're like, why have the Secret Service around that cupboard?
He's tall, he has small hands, it's a nightmare. Maybe if you lived in like sort of impoverished countries, then it would be fine. It's coming to ghost there. So.
That's true. Yeah.
Yes. Real talk. It's,
that's where
politics.
That's what we came here for.
We're with the ice cream in Africa. It's fine. I'm going to end on this last one, and you might not have seen this one because it is quite Australian centric, but it's very fun. So a major Australian department store, Myer, I don't know if you know Myer, has covertly removed stock of a particular tea towel after it was discovered that the Australian animals on the print were doing what?
You're pushing us in a particular direction.
Am I? Am I?
So they were shaped in a particular way that's about make Australia great.
They were singing the New Zealand National Anthem.
That would be a problem. We don't know it though, none of us know it. So we wouldn't know.
They were ignoring Aborigine people.
Oh, that's just everyone.
Yeah,
that's all of Australia.
Or in politics.
This is more than this, I guess. I'm tired, I want to go home and sleep.
No, all of the animals on the tea towel were depicted having sex.
Was having sex.
Yeah, they were also all Australian animals, and they were all
depicted
in different sexual positions. The set is called Wild Fur You. It's a pretty good title, I think.
That's the porn title.
Yeah.
Are there big furry communities in Australia? Like, is it a big sort of subculture there?
Look, maybe. I haven't seen...
I'm going there, so I'm going to slide by to know if I'm a people.
Yes, just to make you... Just to get you over. I've never seen like a furry convention or anything like that, but there's a, you know, Comic-Con's big every year. You can just slide into the Comic-Con crowd and pretend.
My platypus costume will be fine.
It'll be fine, yeah. No one will question it. You should be like, I'm from some obscure New Zealand thing. You haven't heard of it. It's fine. Get more educated. So it was called Wild For You, but... See, here's the thing. So they're taking it off the website, but surely somebody who works for Maya knew what was going on, because the description on Maya's website was, washing up your dishes just got a whole lot more steamy. So somebody knew, like, this wasn't covert.
It's like it wasn't steamy enough. I'm using the dishes.
But I like to think that this is this person's, like, they just put in their resignation. They put in their month's notice and they're like, sort this out, Maya. That's what you get for underpaying me.
That was like late night on a Friday. We need one more tea towel before we leave.
Jeremy, where's the tea towels? You can actually still get the design. If you look up Wild For You Australiana, because the designer of the tea towel still has a little like Etsy or whatever it is. That it has, I think it's cups, mugs, totes, and one other item that you can buy with the animal sex design on it. So, yeah, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it,
John. Right.
They have to come to Australia to get you.
Get my furry thing.
Yeah, get your furry on right.
Because I actually own the domain Wild For You Museum, so.
So this is a little product for you. That's why I got you on. I think Severin got the most actual answers. So give it up to Severin! I'll talk to Canada. But thank you everyone for coming out and taking a chance on a show that you've never heard of. I hope you had a good time. All of these guys are doing shows in the festival. Please support local acts, but I'm not local. Please support me. I'm doing 3 shows next week. But please enjoy the rest of your night. Enjoy the Fringe. It's going to be a good time. Thanks, guys.